Okay, creation. I looked out this morning and it had rained overnight. And I thought to myself, we don't always like the rain, but boy, does it freshen God's creation up. And, you know, with springtime now, it's a time of new growth for leaves, shoots, and flowers. And then we have the autumn time where we've got the vibrant colours of the leaves, from shades of orange to yellow to brown to deep reds, and just the beauty of seeing God's creation throughout the year. Now, one of the things that I love is air travel, being up in an airplane, and I know not everybody likes that. And whenever we take off from Newcastle Airport or coming in to land somewhere, Sue grips my hand to the point that my fingers go white at the end for taking off and coming down. But I love it. But once you're up there, one of the things that you get is a perfect view of God's creation. The land, the sea, the clouds, and even the frightening thought of seeing another plane whiz by quite close to you. But thank the Lord for aircraft technology. And when the planes start to land in places like France, Germany, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Greece, the Mediterranean islands, and the plane starts to descend, and you can see the vineyards, row upon row upon row of grapevines, and rivers nearby that are giving nourishment to the vines so that they can produce the growth of grapes. So come with me to John's Gospel, chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 12. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Amen. Now, in the previous chapter 14, Jesus had comforted his disciples. he told them that he's going back to his Father. And he promises the Holy Spirit for them, who will teach them and remind them of everything Jesus had said to them. And now, in this chapter, Jesus emphasizes the need to keep connected to him. Now, with grapevines, to have a bountiful harvest, certain conditions have to be met. After the harvest, the vine has to be pruned, getting rid of dead wood branches, allows new shoots to grow and produce an abundance of fruit in the next season. So what is the quality of my fruit like? My words, my actions, my attitudes depend on spiritual development. When Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches," he did not imply that one was separate from the other. The vine is a term implying unity in diversity. Root, stem, branches, leaves, grapes are all of the vine, and Jesus is all in all. He is everything, and we are part of him, vitally connected to him as branches to the vine. And severed from him, we're pretty useless, in honesty. The various parts forming the vine speak of unity. The root is no use without the stem, and the stem without branches, and the branches without fruit. Ours is a living union with Jesus Christ through the indwelling Holy Spirit, who produces fruit in life and service. Paul writes in Galatians 5, "Those who walk in step with the Spirit are marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Sometimes my look on circumstances turns sour, or my actions and words become persistently unkind. What I need is pruning shears. I need to get rid of the things in my life that are stopping me being fruitful. And in my own heart, if I'm honest, I know what stops me being fruitful. What about you? What do you need to prune in your life? Does patience and gentleness characterize your interactions with others? Our God, who revealed himself through his Son, Jesus, is a source, our source, of strength, wisdom, joy, understanding, and peace. He is the vine and we are the branches. When we come to know him, we are grafted in to him. And the Holy Spirit wants to work through us, and our words and actions will produce fruit. How much fruit we produce depends on our pruning. Last year, Sue and I were in Corfu, and we rented an apartment from a Greek friend called Asenis. And Asenis had outside our apartment his garden, and he would grow tomatoes, peppers, strawberries, watermelons, a whole variety. But he had a big arcade archway, and on each side of the archway, red and white grapevines were coming up, covering. So you walk through the arcade. That once a week, Asenis would come out and he would start ripping leaves off. And I looked and I thought, I couldn't understand it. There was nothing wrong with the leaves. They were perfect. There was no rotten or anything like that. And I didn't understand. Why would he do that? So in the end, I asked him. He said, the leaves are covering up the grapes, which stops them growing. The grapes need the sun for growth and to be fruitful. So if the leaves were covering up the grapes, what are we covering up in our life? Honoring God and doing good is bearing fruit. The word of Jesus is spoken to all believers, and there's a cleansing virtue in that word as it works grace in and works corruption out. The more fruit we bring forth, the more our Lord is glorified. 1 Corinthians 3 says, for we are God's fellow workers. Coming back to the grapevines, the farmers and the landowners every year have to work the vineyard. And they don't know from year to year what can affect the vines. Too much rain can rot the vine. Too little sun will not bring the grapes on to ripen. Disease, insects, and pests can cause havoc. So the farmers never know whether the vines will be fruitful or not. Do you ever feel this way in daily life sometimes? You work hard at your job, yet there's no guarantee that you will succeed. You may get demoted or even lose your job. You work hard at raising your children, yet your children are lukewarm or even rebellious. You work hard to stay physically fit, yet there's no guarantee you'll be able to keep the weight off or avoid cancer or Parkinson's. These scenarios can be incredibly discouraging. Wouldn't it be great if you could have a guarantee of success in your life? Wouldn't it be great to know that there's at least one area that you can count on? In this passage that we've read, Jesus states that if you abide in him, you experience spiritual success. So the only area in your life that you can truly count on is your relationship with Jesus. In these 12 verses, Jesus teaches his disciples the spiritual art of fruit bearing, which is the purpose of our earthly existence. Now, back in 1982, there was a song, "Should I Stay or Should I Go?" by a punk band called The Clash. And I can see some people smiling, they remember it. This song dealt with the pros and cons of remaining in a romantic relationship. But Jesus beat The Clash to the punchline. Be sure to stay as you go. In other words, you and I must go and be Jesus' disciples, but we also have to stay in fellowship with him at all times. Jesus has been sharing with his disciples what matters most to him. He and his disciples were heading towards Gethsemane. And Jesus pauses and says, "I am the true vine." He didn't say, "I am a true vine." He says, "I am the true vine." And he's saying there is only one true vine. You can't choose your vintage. It's not a wine tasting to see which variety you prefer. Jesus often used a grapevine to describe the nation of Israel. And the Old Testament writers as well used the term vine to describe Israel. But it was to denote her sinfulness, not her fruitfulness. They were sour grapes. Here Jesus uses the vine to remind Israel of her past failures and to indicate that he is the one faithful Israelite, the true vine. In keeping with grape growing, Jesus rightly assumes that no vine will produce good fruit unless someone cares for it. So Jesus states, "My Father is the gardener." Jesus is never portrayed as independent from his Father. Rather, they are always cooperating with one another. If this is true of Jesus, how much more should this be true about you and I? The phrase "in me" appears 16 times in John's Gospel. In each case, it refers to a life of fellowship or unity of purpose. If you go to the vineyards today, you will find grapes tied onto trellises, particularly if they're low down, so that you don't stand on them. And the grapevine dresser doesn't cut away the vine because it has no fruit, but gently lifts it up to the sun so it has an opportunity to bear fruit in the future. And in the same way, God's first step is not judgment, but encouragement. He answers prayers. He brings someone or something into their lives to lift them. Springtime is for cleaning. To clean the branch off of insects, disease, parasites. And it includes pinching off those little sucker shoots from the branch that draws away the production of big, juicy grapes. If that's not done, you end up with a grape that size. But when pruning and cleaning's done, you end up with grapes that size. And it's the same in our lives. Left to itself, the branch will favour more leafy growth over more fruit, which is why pruning is necessary. What does this pruning represent in the life of a Christian? I believe that the bugs, the diseases, the unwanted sprigs represent things like bad habits, wrong thinking, unimportant activities, and lesser priorities. Anything that distracts us from being fruitful to loving others to the fullest, the way that Jesus loved us. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you're packing your schedule with socially acceptable things that make you look good, all the while avoiding the harder work of loving those who are difficult to love. Maybe your busyness needs to be pruned. Maybe you've got a secret sin and it needs to be removed from your life. Maybe your life's filled with stress. Maybe you're performance driven and all you want to do is work and perform. Or maybe you're independent and it's hard for you to rely on anyone. Grapevines don't have many uses. Their total value is that they can produce grapes. They're good for bearing or burning. And similarly, a Christian who loses contact with Jesus becomes dull and fruitless. God is wanting you to remain grafted in to him. And you know if there are things in your life that needs pruning or nipping out. Verse 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The Father is glorified in the work of the Son. The Son is also glorified in the work of disciples, fruit-bearing disciples, you and I. It's springtime, pruning time. Time to get rid of the things that stop you being fruitful.